You're listening to The Fuse Show, where wealth management and tech innovation converge. We break down the keys to success, as well as the technologies, mindsets, and solutions that will propel top advisors into the future. Here are your hosts, George Figuera and Ryan Donovan.
Welcome to The Fuse Show, a podcast brought to you by Orion with your hosts, George Figuera, and me, Ryan Donovan. Today's guest is Robert Sophia, co-founder, chairman, and CEO of Snappy Kraken, one of the industry's premier marketing automation tools for financial advisors. We're excited to have Robert on the show today to share his expertise in marketing and prospecting for financial advisors, as well as shed some light on our new partnership with Redtail and Snappy Kraken called Redtail Campaigns. So let's dive in. Thanks for coming on the show, Robert.
I'm happy to be here, Ryan.
Yeah. Hey, Robert. Thanks for coming on, man. It's great to meet you in person. And, you know, kind of jumping in, I figured we'd start with, you know, how Snappy Kraken got its start and where it is today. And I have some numbers here in front of me in terms of like users. So it says you serve over 6,000 advisors, 200 enterprise, more than 6 million individual investors, which are some serious numbers considering that Snappy Kraken got its start in 2016. Can you kind of just give us and our listeners the stories of, you know, how it got its start and where it is today?
Oh, man. It's a lot to tell. I'm going to keep it short. I had a beer with a couple of friends on the beach. I was sitting at a Salt Life food shack in St. Augustine, Florida. They were friends, but they also worked for me. One of them was my CMO and one of them was my CTO at my last company. And we were a services company. We were basically an agency. We did everything from scratch. And as technologists, they said, hey, we're going to go build this thing now. And it sounded awesome. They said, we can do everything we do as an agency, but we can do it with technology at much greater scale. And they told me how they wanted to do it. And they said, we got the marketing chops, we got the technology chops, but we need a CEO. And I said, let's do it. So the three of us went into business together. We founded the company. We started building it in April of 2016, and we never looked back. So here we are with all those numbers you said. And Ryan called us one of the industry's premier marketing companies. I object to being one of them. I would like to just be the industry premier marketing company, but I'll let that slide. So, but no, we're trying to be the best. We really are. We're trying to be the best at serving advisors, helping them have success with marketing. And that's where we are today. Still growing, still doing our work.
That's fantastic. And I think that's such a critical part of advisors' success is their marketing. And I think it separates the wheat from the trough. And George, no farming better than I. Did I say that right? Wheat trough. Is that right? No? Shaft?
I don't think that's a farming reference at all. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I'll try another one another later, but another farming reference for you. But anyway, so, you know, a lot of advisors struggle with this and a lot of them want to be fantastic marketers. A lot of them are really good salespeople, you know, but prospecting and marketing just isn't something that they do so great or very consistently if they are doing something good. You know, so that's probably why Snappy Kraken and a tool like, you know, our partnership with Redtail Campaigns can be so valuable. What's the biggest piece of advice that you provide to advisors that might engage you at Snappy Kraken who are just looking to implement the marketing program?
There are a lot of things that we have to educate about. You're right that it's a huge differentiator for advisors. In fact, that's where this whole thing got its start was I worked in an RIA and I ran the marketing and the advisors did the planning. And we grew like crazy. I mean, we added something like $300 million in new assets in just a few years during the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And it was because you had that combination of consistent quality marketing and advisors focusing on what they do. And that speaks to the answer to your question. What do we tell advisors? You got to do this consistently. You've got to do it strategically. You've got to do it high quality. And everything boils down to that. There's a lot of ways to market. But if you're not consistent, it won't work. If it's not strategic, it won't work. If it's not high quality, it won't work. It may work a little bit on some level somewhere, but it's the advisors who catch all three of those things right that just keep growing and growing and growing.
I always think that's interesting that some of the industry leaders of firms that have been super successful, you see them speak at conferences and they talk about all this stuff that they do in their firm that other firms need to do to be successful. One in particular, I was watching that this person speak and they were like, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And I turned to the person next to me and I was like, I find it super interesting that this person keeps telling these people they have to do this. When this person, the way they built their business was they're just a great marketer. They're great at marketing. They've always been good at marketing. And honestly, what they're telling the audience is kind of bull because that's not how they built their business. They built their business because they're just a really good marketer. I feel like it's so easily overlooked. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like just something that firms don't think they need.
Oh, it's very true. I can't even tell you how many advisors over the years, I've been in this industry almost 20 years, that I talk to. And when they find out I do marketing, their response is, oh, well, I don't need marketing. I just take great care of my clients and I get all my business from referrals. And if you don't run a great business, you need marketing, things like that. And it's really interesting to me because actually, most people think of marketing as leads or creating growth or driving opportunities. And marketing is great for all those things, but marketing is really just relationship building at scale, done properly. That's how I define marketing. Build relationships at scale. And so that matters just as much, whether you're dealing with prospects and a cold audience or your clients. Every touch point is a bit of marketing. So if you say, well, I don't want to market, you're also saying, I don't want to communicate with my clients in meaningful ways. I don't want to enrich them. I don't want to educate them. I don't want to send communications that make them feel really good about me. All that's marketing. So yeah, I absolutely agree. There's a misconception in the industry about marketing and what it's really about and what it's for.
I think a lot of people want to think that marketing doesn't work on them. Like I put myself in that category, like marketing doesn't work on me. I became a huge Formula One fan over the pandemic. I would have never touched a Red Bull in my life. Okay. And I became a huge Formula One fan, Red Bull team. And I was like in the grocery store. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a Red Bull because I like Red Bull Formula One's racing team. And I'm going to drink this. It was garbage. It's terrible. But I kept buying them and kept doing it because I was like, I just like to be a part of that brand. It's like a cool brand to me. And I want to be a part of it, you know?
Yeah. Funny tangent on Red Bull. So did you guys see that guy land a plane on the tiny little helipad in Dubai? And it was a Red Bull sponsored like feat. He landed a plane on like a 60-foot helipad and it was Red Bull. And the thing that I thought in my head was, wow, Red Bull's so cool. And I thought the exact same thing. I was like, it really tastes like shit, but it's like, they're such a cool brand, you know? And it's like that they did something like, I'm thinking they're like, oh, he did 600 successful short runway landings all over the world on different surfaces. And I'm like, someone paid for that. Like Red Bull paid for that. And, you know, that's a cool thing, but yeah, it does taste like shit, but I get your point. And this is where like we as salespeople, Robert, like kind of sometimes like clash with like our CMO. Cause you know, like I'll be like, hey, I called this guy and he loves us. And so, you know, like they're going to be moving forward with Orion and our marketing person wants a lot more credit, you know, than I feel like I should give for the fact that that person already knew us. They already had a perception of us that was created. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately at the point in time where, you know, they decided to reach out to us, they connected with us or we connected with them or we spoke with them in a conference, whatever it may have been, it's like they'd already known who we were. We didn't have to educate them on all that. And that's marketing, right?
Oh, it is. And you guys absolutely just teed me up in a way you probably had no clue you could have possibly teed me up when mentioned Red Bull and Formula One, because I've actually cited this before as one of the best examples for financial advisors around marketing. And here's why. The exact example you just gave, George, of drinking Red Bull because you are a Formula One fan highlights one of the most important principles of marketing. It's about showing up where your clients, your ideal clients, are having positive emotional experiences. Hmm. Now, take your example. You love Formula One, so you drank a Red Bull because they sponsor Formula One. Ryan mentioned an example of an event that they sponsored with the airplane and the branding. Now, think about what Red Bull is. It's an energy drink. So what do they sponsor? High energy activities. They are in the place of their ideal audience sponsoring things that evoke the kind of positive emotions that relate to their brand. So think about an advisor. Where are you going to show up? Where do your ideal clients show up? Are they philanthropic? You look at the psychographic profile of your ideal client. If they're philanthropic, then what are you doing for charity events? Where are you sponsoring charity events? Where are you sponsoring charity auctions? Do you have a ticket to every single charity event in town? You better if your clients are philanthropic. Or are your clients wealthy socialites? Then are you attending every exotic car show, every museum opening? Are they family people? Great. Do you have a sign up on the fence at every ball field where all the kids in town play? If you start making sure your brand is visible, showing up where the ideal client persona is having a positive emotional experience, you connect your brand with the positive emotional experiences, and that makes people like you. It makes them want to do business with you subconsciously. It is one of the most powerful forms of marketing, and you just perfectly illustrated it. But advisors don't often think about this form of marketing. They just say, hey, where can I buy leads? Yeah. And they miss this entire foundational aspect.
That's interesting, because like, those personas, how often, Robert, do you think that advisors even think about that? Like, who are my ideal clients? Because I'm just blown away sometimes when I find somebody that's got such a narrow niche. It's like, my focus is families that are preparing for sending their kids to college. My focus is families with children with special needs or dentists or whatever that might be. I don't hear it often. It's like, well, who do you work with? Well, I work with anybody who has more than, you know, 3 million of investable assets. And that's like really broad. How do you market to that target?
Yeah, you're spot on. They usually are not thinking about it. And yet, if they really want to be focused on getting the right type of clients, not just any prospects, but the right types, then it means you're going deeper than demographics. I mean, you describe demographics, right? That's, you know, how old are they? How much money do they have? Where do they live? How much income? And that's not really what makes up a person. What makes up a person is who they are. What are they thinking and feeling? What do they want out of life? And when your message is centered on those things, a different type of profile emerges that's more psychological. You know, they're seeking balance in health and wellness. They're achievers. They're well-educated. They're seeking a certain kind of enrichment. They're technologically savvy or not. And then you shape your messaging around those people. And that's when it starts to hit. That's when it starts to be effective. Hey, we serve rich people near us. Doesn't pull anybody in.
Yeah.
But, you know, are you a person who wants to give to charity and also have a great lifestyle, enjoying travel and luxury, but still doing a lot of good and giving back? Oh, yeah. Okay. That does. That does. That's me. That's exactly who I want to be. Now you're pulling people in. So you nailed it.
I feel like I would love to see the commercial or the advertisement that starts with that, though. Hey, are you a rich person near this location? we have the services for you. Yeah. But, you know, it is interesting, like, thinking through that. What a great starting point or a piece of advice for advisors to think about the psychodemographics. And I was like thinking like, okay, where do you start there? And like, you know, I was told by a mentor years ago that typically as a salesperson, you tend to attract the customers and the prospects that are most like you, or well, you're successful with prospects and customers that are most like you. And I feel like that's a good place for advisors to start, is like, start with like, what are you interested in? What do you like to do on the weekends? Or what do you like to do? I feel like that's just an easy place for even, you know, an advisor to start and then go from there.
Great advice. Yeah, you're right. If you're not doing that, then you run the risk of being disingenuous if you're just trying to fake it. Like, oh, well, I better go to the golf course, even though you don't like golf, or have a wine tasting, even though you don't like wine, because other advisors are doing it. Like, that authenticity will draw similar people to you.
Yeah. And maybe you're just a rich person that lives near a location.
And I'll still work with you. That's right.
I feel like that's like when you're... when you're getting those like broad like E-Trade ads, or you remember back in the day, there was like, I think they had the baby.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, who are you targeting? Like, you know, like rich young people or rich old people? And they just basically, the big, you know, national brokerages, that's kind of like their MO. Just come work with us.
I got to touch on that, Ryan, because you bring it up, because there's a really valid point here too. When you have that kind of firepower to run ads on TV during the Super Bowl, the methodology is way different. I mean, what they're going for with an ad like that is be remembered. Get the brand remembered. Get the brand noticed. Get the attention. Get the eyeballs. And most advisors don't have that kind of firepower. So it is a little different. However, the lesson there is, you might not go that far. Most advisors should not go that far. But you do need to push boundaries if you want to get noticed, because things that are stale and bland and plain vanilla, which might be very comfortable, which might be what you like, may very likely get overlooked because it does nothing to attract attention. And that's another part of our philosophy about marketing, and what Snappy Kraken does different than everybody else in the space is we take a lot more risks. We develop our content around psychographic profiles, like I shared with you. Every campaign is built around a psychographic profile. And then we also make it very bold. We invest in, you know, illustrations that are unique and things designed to get attention and pull people in. And that is another important aspect of marketing.
Sure. So you're kind of getting at something that I wanted to touch on. You know, it's obviously a lot of work to get somebody, you know, mentally prepared to engage on a campaign. You know, it's also, you know, when they do send out that content, where is it landing? And what's that experience like? So that it goes with, you know, who am I? What's the message that's going out? When I capture interest, where am I directing those people? And then when I bring them on as a client, what's that experience like? You know, how much, like you started off that you guys are, you know, an agency and technologists. When someone signs up for Snappy Kraken, the monthly fee, and they get, you know, the content, the lead automation, lead capture, how much, you know, consultation or what kind of resources do you provide to your clients, either, you know, qualitative, you know, support, or how do you help clients implement this more broadly?
Yeah, it depends on the client. So if they have budget for it, we can do a lot more for them. And if they don't, you know, we can't. But we still provide as much value as possible. I would say we give all of our clients the ability to succeed. So if they are a lower paying client, then that probably means they join, they get all the tools, they get invited to workshops with other clients, they get access to our knowledge base, to recorded video training, to our annual conference. And it's the one-to-many approach, largely. For other clients, it's much more high touch. If they are getting a website and they're using our automation and we're helping them with their branding, then there may be some services involved in there, some discovery. And ultimately, we actually have a program. It's a done-for-you program where we actually run their website and their marketing for them on autopilot. And we launch their campaigns. We provide everything ready to go for compliance every month. We give them a complete marketing calendar and schedule. And so it varies. There are some who come to us and they don't need help to be successful. They log into our platform, they recognize the tools, and they say, oh, wow, this is a lot easier than what I was doing, and they get busy using it. Others need that handholding. And so we serve both types of advisors.
That's interesting. I didn't realize you had such a comprehensive offering, you know, kind of on behind this curtain.
Oh, Ryan, I'm full of surprises. Yeah, we do. We do. And it is relatively new. I'll tell you, truthfully, the reason you probably didn't know about it is because we launched it in January, the full comprehensive done for you program. It's called Freedom 360. And we did that because as I've grown this business since 2016, I've been very proud of what we've accomplished for a lot of advisors, but I've also been saddened by so many that have joined us and said, I didn't get any value, and they left. And the data on why they always left was the same. The number one reason always, I didn't have time to use it. I love it, but I didn't have time to use it. Mm-hmm. And so at some point I just said, you know what? If I give advisors the tools, but they don't have time to use it, then I'm not serving them like I need to be. So we built a new enhancement to our program that says, if you don't have the time to use it, fine. Just pay us a little extra and we'll do it for you and you can still get the results. And that's how that came about.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you touched on something. We had Joel Bruckenstein on a couple months ago and he hit on his T3 survey before it was released. The T3 conference had just recently taken place and the results came out. Congratulations, you are gaining market share and your competitors seem to be losing market share, which is really bringing the overall utilization of your category down. You know, you're a category leader and, you know, people thinking of, you know, using a tool. And so, you know, I guess maybe that's the reason is, you know, people just haven't set aside the proper time to utilize this. Joel had actually, you know, speculated that it's probably expectations going in don't align with the immediate results that they get, you know, post-implementation of some of these, you know, marketing automation tools.
Joel's a smart guy. Yeah, he's spot on. It's all about expectation versus reality. And I think that comes from a few places. It comes from marketing leaders like myself. I'll take some credit for it or some blame, who stand up and tell advisors what to do and the kind of results they should expect. But maybe not always saying it's going to take this much work and this much time and this much commitment and this much money before you finally get those results. And so they do occasionally come in and they expect everything to happen instantly, perfectly. And they see other success stories lifted up and they think that they're going to be that success story, but they don't realize just how much work and effort it's going to take.
We were chatting a little bit before we started recording just about why, you know, Donnie and I like to have this podcast, or the reason we wanted to have this podcast. So I won't go through it again because I mentioned it on a few other episodes, but we were kind of talking about that. And you mentioned the Jolt conference that I know we were at last year, and it's coming up in May. Can you tell us a little bit about that conference and why it's different? Kind of touching on like the reason that we talked about, like giving advisors true takeaways, things they can implement in their business.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing I was just discussing about expectations and reality and the industry needing more education around marketing. And every marketing session I would go to at a conference, I would see advisors hungry to learn more, but it was always just a couple sessions or a couple, you know, a short track. And nobody was hosting a marketing conference for advisors that covered branding and marketing and creativity, and that brought all the advisors who are having the most success with marketing onto stage to teach their fellow advisors and all the best consultants and industry marketing leaders in for advisors to learn from. And I recognize that as an opportunity. I also had a problem with marketing advice at conferences because it's usually all about what you should do without all the execution support. So what we do at our event is everybody starts day one with a workbook, and they know they're there to work. And every session has a page in the workbook. And on that page, the way it's structured, there is a specific place you can take general notes, but there's also a place for action items. Then at the end of the event, we have a consultation lounge and we bring the experts in, and there is sections inside that lounge for each key area covered at the conference. There's a podcasting section. There's a copywriting section. There's a video section. There's just a variety of different specific things advisors want to implement. And now they get to go and actually meet with the speakers, the professional speakers, the professional advisors who are doing it well, consult with them. And then there's a separate section in their workbook where they build their action plan, their next steps, their follow-up items. When do I need to start this? What's first, second, and third? What does it cost? And they leave with something to implement. And it may not be everything from the event, but if they attend the event and they do the exercise, they will always leave and better their business. And it takes it from philosophy to application. And that's why we started Jolt Conference. And the reception last year was incredible. I mean, all the praise was, it's the best conference I've ever been to. We were so happy. We had about 500 advisors there. This year, it's going to be bigger. And it's all about just helping advisors do something that is not always in their wheelhouse. Amazing with clients, amazing with financial aspects of their business, struggling with marketing. And we wanted to help solve that problem.
Is the registration like to attend still open?
It is. It is. And you know, actually, I didn't think about this before, but I'll give Orion a discount code. I'll have my conference team make a code for you guys. And everybody that's a podcast listener or an Orion client can come for, you know, 30% off or something like that.
That sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That'd be very cool.
Can we create a custom URL like snappycracken.com?
It'd be like Red Tail Campaigns or something, dude. What are you talking about?
You know, I hear on like all these successful podcasts that like there's a custom like URL, you know, like,
oh yeah,
like snappycracken.com/thefewshow, or we'll be happy with TFS, you know, like,
why are you trying to complicate my life now? See, I would give you a code, you know, 3 letters, 5 letters, whatever. Yeah. Maybe Orion or Fuse Show. Fuse. There you go.
Yeah.
Now you want me to go build a custom website for you. That's how, see, you're just like advisors. This is how it goes.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I just want like, you know, that fancy landing page, like the true crime podcasts have, you know,
but I'll see what I can do next year.
Put in hashtag light the fuse 2023/redtailcampaigns/ snappycracken.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up, actually, George. So, you know, we have a partnership in place, and I think it's an interesting one for our mutual clients with Red Tail Campaigns. Do you want to, or would you be willing to kind of give an overview on how Red Tail Campaigns may be different than, you know, Snappy Kraken, what it brings to those clients choosing to move forward with that?
Yeah, I'll be happy to share where it's different today, but I'll also share a little bit of the vision because there's a lot more opportunity yet for advisors. If you think about marketing, any communication you send is only as successful as the data around which it was chosen to be sent. The client's age, location, interests, assets, a lot of things that you can learn from their CRM profile and their financial planning profile. The first version of Red Tail Campaigns is a deep integration with Red Tail, where all the data flows back and forth between Red Tail and the Snappy Kraken version Red Tail Campaigns. In addition, the behavioral psychologist, Mr. Daniel Crosby himself, and the great marketing team at Orion is working together to build specialized content. So when you have Red Tail Campaigns, you end up getting extra content Orion has created, deeper integration with the CRM. And I think we're scratching the surface because I really envision a world in the not too distant future. Some of the testing we're doing with predictive text and with the deep integration of the data, where no one will ever receive a communication that is not specific, customized, and relevant to them personally. And that's where you take the financial planning information, account information, holdings information, the CRM data, beneficiary information. You use all that to tailor communications. And your effectiveness goes through the roof when it's more streamlined. So right now, we'll take the groups you already have built in Red Tail, and you can easily send certain communications to those groups and things like that. But I think in the future, it's going to be even more automatic and even more relevant for the recipients. And that's what I'm excited about.
It's interesting you say that because we had our Ascend conference and we talked about what we were doing with ChatGPT with the SpeakBot for advisors. And then I thought you were very firmly in the camp that, you know, ChatGPT or augmented intelligence shouldn't be creating content. Is there certain, you know, areas where you think that could be useful?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not in that camp at all. Why do you think I'm in that camp?
I thought I saw a tweet somewhere. I don't know. I forget where I heard that.
I did comment on an article.
Something about content creation. Yeah.
I actually tweeted the other day. I said, it was a little snarky, something like, you know, great news, AI will write all your content for you. And now you don't have to do anything and it will get lots of clicks, but the clicks will be from bots.
That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So congratulations, all your marketing is pointless. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I said that and I believe I said it as a cautionary tale. Here's the good and the bad side of that technology. It's powerful. It's incredible. You can do amazing things with it. We do amazing things with it already. I don't want to spill the beans on a new feature that we have coming out, but you can't see that as the be all and end all. At the end of the day, the humanity, the relevance, those are the things that are going to drive the outcomes. So those tools are just that. They are tools. They still need human intervention. I think it was Raymond James just rolled out for all their advisors. They've got like everything that it produces, they have humans fact-checking because of the hallucinations that it has and inaccuracies. So when something new comes out, here's what happens. Everybody goes, oh, it's the Holy Grail. It's going to save the world, just like blockchain. Everybody's there with ChatGPT now, right? It's going to do everything. It's going to be amazing. And I'm a futurist. I believe it has power, but it still needs work. It still is not able to replace all the strategic work that has to be done around effective marketing. So I would think of it like this. It's a powerful new battery drill in your toolbox. You still need a skilled craftsman to build anything meaningful with that drill. That's ChatGPT. So I'm not against it. I love it. We're using it. We're testing it. We're incorporating it. But I wasn't the first one to jump on the bandwagon and say, hey, let's put this in the hands of advisors, because I don't want them left holding the bag with some new tech that failed them. I would rather prove it. That's a big part of our thesis. We test, we prove out the effectiveness, and then we provide it to advisors. So not a naysayer. I'm all about it. I'm just a little more realistic about what it can do in the short term versus the long term. And we're not shiny object people. You know, We're a little more measured and strategic in our approach to things.
Sure. No, that makes complete sense.
Donnie, did you just open a Red Bull?
No, it's not a Red Bull. It's actually, Well, today's St. Patrick's Day, and it is now officially afternoon time. That's a local beer, and I've been staring at Robert's Nocturnal Brewing Company hat. Since we're going to be wrapping soon, I did crack that open. I'm Irish, and it is March 17th, George. Cheers.
No judgment.
Yeah.
Now, I was on a podcast with a guy from the UK recently, and he and I did the podcast, also tried three different beers over the course of the podcast and talked about them. By the end of the podcast, I was not as sharp as I started it.
Well, that's why I waited until we got to this point. I've said almost everything intelligent that it's going to come out of me, Robert. So I did want to touch on one thing, though, getting us back on track. You said the vision. What is the vision? Because we've got a ton of stuff we're doing with behavioral finance and compatibility scores among spouses and, you know, risk composure and things like that. Is there something that we could do to campaign more effectively on those personas where we really started this call?
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Because the data around the personas that is available, what you can glean from Orion's set of software tools, adapted or incorporated, probably is the better word, into the marketing communications, means that the effectiveness will be greater. It means when people receive something, they're not going to go, oh, this doesn't apply to me. Instead, they're going to say, oh, this is exactly what I was thinking about. And that, you know, a lot of marketing companies are out there saying, hey, write content to the right people at the right time. And you know what that really means? We're going to blast it to everybody, but there's a few people out there it'll be right for. But that's the opposite of what this partnership has the opportunity to deliver. Actually, if we analyze the data correctly and use some predictive analytics, hey, a little ChatGPT-4 to customize proven frameworks, then everybody can get a communication that's relevant for them. And I almost think of it like Mad Libs. You know, we've even been experimenting with this a touch in that we have some variable data that can pull in from short codes and which advisors can customize, where we take a proven framework for a communication, the education around that communication, but then we modify certain elements of it for their area or for that advisor's individual practice, and the effectiveness goes through the roof. Open rates go through the roof. And that's where we're going with this. We're just scratching the surface right now.
That's fantastic. So just more broadly, in terms of the, you know, trends that you're seeing in the industry here, speaking outside of marketing, anything you want to touch upon, what are some of the key trends that I think advisors, or that you think that advisors should be aware of and kind of keeping an eye on across the fintech marketing, you know, wealth industry?
Yeah. You know, I said a little bit ago, like I'm a little more measured and strategic in things. I dare say, here I am running a technology company and saying, be careful just trying to follow all the trends. But I think this is less of a hot new trend, but it is definitely a trend that I'm seeing, and I think it has a high degree of relevance. And that is stepping back from things that lack individuality, personality, and just, I should say, stepping into things that have individuality and personality. So here's what I mean by that. Social media came up through the 90s, 2000s. Advisors started getting on the bandwagon. Oh, everybody's out there saying, you got to be on social media. You got to be on social media. And advisors started buying tools that just auto-post whatever to social media. And the people were saying, hey, you got to be in touch by email. So advisors start buying tools that send out newsletters. And so advisors are just buying these tools, and it's just blasting emails and blasting social media posts. And it's all about whatever to everybody. And then all of a sudden, a few years ago, you spoke to it. Joel spoke to it. Advisors start waking up and saying, wait a second, this crap isn't working. I'm not getting any results.
Yeah.
And the advisors who are out there really having success, what are they doing? They're leaning into their personal brand. They're leaning into creating unique content. They're creating video content. They're out there showcasing themselves in unique and creative ways. And so even at Snappy Kraken, when we started, it was all, here's our content, just use it. And then over time, we started saying, here's a video script. You record it. We'll put it into this campaign. Now we send it. Now it's your face. Or here's an email. Customize these first three sentences. Drop in a picture of your family. And then the open rates go up 4x. And so I think the trend for advisors is they're waking up and they're realizing that they have to put a little more effort in to get real results. The other thing is, what channels and mediums are people on? Used to be you didn't have that many options. Now you do. And there's a lot of options. So advisors are out there trying to do every single channel. Oh, I got to be on YouTube. I got to be on Facebook. I got to be on LinkedIn. I got to be on Twitter. I got to be on doing everything. And now I think they're getting smart. They're realizing I got to figure out where I can really shine, and I got to dominate one place. Where's my audience? Where can I shine? focus. Mm-hmm. And then the other, I think the other big thing is there's a lot of technology that our industry has been behind on. One of those, the most popular channel by which consumers want to communicate with a business now is text message.
Yeah.
86% say they'd like to text the business. Well, how do you do that compliantly? That's another big problem we've solved for. And I think advisors who are using text messaging, they've seen the opt-in rates on their website by adding something that says, text me your questions, go up 4 times. Why? Because it's easy. Consumers trust it. Going to events, saying, text us to opt in. These types of things are modern. Other businesses use them, and the advice industry needs to use them as well. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about the cliche stuff. I'm not going to talk about blockchain or ChatGPT-4 anymore. But there's new technology coming out. I think advisors need to keep their eye on, but basics, right? Get your face out there, get your brand out there, do things unique, let people communicate with you on the channel they're comfortable, be on the channel where your clients are, focus on it. Those are the trends that I want to see advisors really leaning into.
That's fantastic. Thank you for such a great answer to that. We could run with that. You teed us up to talk about Red Tail Speak and so many other things, but we've been recording for a long time. Robert, I wanted to thank you for coming on today. It's been a fantastic conversation, one we could certainly continue on a future podcast. And we do look forward to taking you up on your offer with the upcoming conference. And in terms of that, we'll look for our landing page.
Yeah. Well, don't look too hard.
Yeah, Robert, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. It's great meeting you, and we're really excited about the partnership as well.
Likewise. Yeah, I look forward to working with you guys more. This was fun.
That was a great episode with Robert, and I feel like between him, Kelly Waltrick, and Judd, I feel like the Fuse Show has become like a masterclass on how to do marketing for your advisory firm.
Yeah, no, it was good. And each episode is really different perspectives from three people who have run really successful marketing programs. You know, what he touched on, you know, Kelly didn't really touch on the same. Judd was completely, you know, different perspective.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't touch on them specifically, but they've all kind of said very similar things with different takes. It's almost like kind of three different sides of the same coin.
Consistency. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Not investing the right time, not having the right consistency, right?
Yep, exactly.
Thanks for listening to The Fuse Show. In each episode, your co-hosts, George Figuera and me, Ryan Donovan, will share our take on top fintech news, welcome industry leaders and colleagues to share their perspectives and keep you up to date on all that's happening at Orion that will help advisors and their ability to prospect, plan, invest, and achieve. Feel free to share your thoughts on the show with us and send us questions to cover in future episodes. Just shoot us an email at thefuseshow@orion.com.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Fuse Show. This podcast is brought to you by Orion and produced by Turncast. You can subscribe to future episodes in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information about Orion and The Fuse Show, visit us at orion.com.